Welcome to Daytime Confidential, the only podcast of its kind, the one-stop source for daytime news, gossip, opinions, and more. Hey guys, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Luke. In today's podcast, we're discussing all kinds of news. Erica Slezak calls out the writers on One Life to Live, as well as Tamara Tooney, is it? Is leaving As the World Turns, and much, much more. So stay tuned. Well, Lisa.
Yes?
Before we get to the juice, the really juicy gossip and news this week, we want to take a moment to apologize to all of our listeners who sent us emails over the past 2 weeks.
I feel so terrible. Even though it's nobody's fault, I still feel terrible.
Yeah. Basically, folks, what happened is the server for our website apparently was not delivering emails for the past 2 weeks. So when you heard us telling you that we thought it was weird that no one was sending us emails and that YORPA wasn't sending in anything, we were a little bit concerned. And so we got looking into it and discovered that there was something wrong with the web server. So all of a sudden, after we thought we had it fixed, on Thursday, I all of a sudden had over 200 emails show up in the course of like 3 minutes.
Boom!
So what we've decided to do, since so many of you sent in emails that we never received in time for podcasts that we recorded, in the next week or two, we're going to have a special email edition podcast where we just go through all of your emails and letters and forum posts and just do that all in one lump sum, get us all caught up, and then from there we can go on. So that's what we're going to do.
Because we love you guys so much. We're so thrilled that people were writing in, because we thought, why aren't we getting letters? I mean, it was kind of depressing.
Well, yes, and in future reference, if anybody ever gets one of those messages from this saying that it cannot be delivered or it's not being delayed, go to the forums immediately and post a message on the Daytime Confidential thing, because I don't send emails to myself, so I don't know when I'm not getting emails. And so if you get an email like that, go to the forums, tvfanonline.com/forums, type a post in the Daytime Confidential thread, and just make us aware of it, because as soon as we're aware of it, we can do something about it. But we didn't literally find...
Because you're important, people. You're important.
Exactly, and we didn't find out about it until like a week and a half later, because no one told us in the forums, and we just figured, okay, people must not be liking our podcast quite as much. So
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
I didn't want to face it.
You guys have no idea how much money I pay in therapy costs for this woman.
I know. It's just part of the job perk.
Exactly. Well,
okay. But yes, next week we'll read them all, we'll answer them all, and we'll gush forth the love.
There you go. Well, you were just doing your little crying bit here. I have a question for you. Were you weeping through your tears of laughter at the picture of... Now, normally we do not pick on actors specifically.
Oh, I do.
Normally. But what was Ron Moss thinking this last week?
Was that not the best picture ever?
Well, in addition to that, it came on just on the previous podcast when we were discussing how he was one of the top people that we thought needed an extreme makeover. And if you haven't seen this picture, folks, you needed to go to gofugyourself.com. And you can go back a few days' worth of episodes. There is a picture of Ron Moss there.
It's called The Fug and the Fugiful.
The outfit he's wearing is nothing short of unable to describe. It's...
Okay. And then they, like, captioned it.
Well, they captioned it, and they wrote it as if they were him.
Like, in character.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Ridge Forrester. You might remember me as the young fashion magnate from the reality show The Bold and the Beautiful, a decadent half hour of dead-on commentary honesty about the dog-eat-dog fashion industry and sex-crave people who run it from their lush offices in L.A. I mean, I've been married 8 times, 7 of them to the same 2 women. Hey, I'm consistent and loyal-ish. So I must be pretty foxy, right? Especially since I'm still with one of them, even though I inadvertently raped her last year. Which, look, it happens, okay? Sometimes you trip and fall, and it goes, and well, awkward, but we're fine now. And I'm ensuring us a happy ending by previewing here my newest collection, which is going to make us millions of pennies. It's called Lounge Lizard. And dudes, let me tell you, I'm back in Lisa voice. Lounge Lizard is being kind about what this guy is wearing. He's wearing a gray suit with a yellow patterned shirt
that
with
looks
a
like,
red ascot. Hello.
The shirt looks like something that you would have imagined curtains to look like in the
70s. It looks like, you know, the sofas in the
70s? Yeah, exactly. That's
that
what I was thinking.
Orange and yellow
are curtains.
Oh, that's what the shirt looks like with a bright red ascot. It looks like Ronald McDonald threw up on him. It's terrible.
I saw that shirt, and the first thing I thought to myself is, why is he wearing my grandparents' old carpet?
And the mullet still lives with the goatee. I'm dying.
The mullet's been trimmed back a little. It's just he's growing it out a little bit long.
It looks terrible
on top.
On him.
It's not on the side, but...
And his stance, the way he shifts to the side with his arms forward.
It's just... Folks, it is not a complimentary picture at all. I mean,
it's like the funniest picture. I'm still laughing at it, and I've seen it 6 billion times in the last 4 days. So
if you haven't seen this, go to gofugyourself.com.
Oh,
it's,
please.
It's a humorous blog.
And I'll post it under the links under the Daytime Confidential thread on the TVFanOnline.com forums. I'll post the link to the in the link thread because, dudes, it's priceless. It's priceless. Okay. What are we going to talk about now?
Well, before we go on, did you by chance have a chance to see anything about Bold and the Beautiful this last week with their celebrating their 20th anniversary?
A little bit.
Well, it was really interesting to me because this last week on Bold and the Beautiful, they celebrated their 20th anniversary by going down under. No puns intended, of course. And the... Basically, what they did is they took Brooke and Ridge and Rick and Phoebe to Australia, where they spent a week, which ended in Rick and Phoebe trying to canoodle, but not being able to because Rick found them and basically punched Rick in the face, and then he falls and hits him on his head on something, and now
and Brooke breaks up with him.
Yeah, Brooke breaks up with him, and basically,
don't be hitting my boy.
It's 20 years of once again Brooke and Ridge breaking up. So
yippee! I know I'm riveted.
So in honor of 20 years, since not everybody has been watching this show that long, we posted a thread in the forums this last week and asked people what they thought of Bold and the Beautiful, or what their best memories of Bold and the Beautiful were for this for the past 20 years. I've got a couple of them here. Let me just see if I can find them. Here we go.
Well, one of my favorite memories is towards the beginning when Brooke was working as a server at a party, at a Forrester party. She was so fresh and eager and cute, and she had her hair pulled back, and she was in this little waitress uniform, not one of those sleazy ones, but, you know, real professional with the little vest and a white shirt. And just the way she looked so honest, and I don't know, something very appealing about Brooke. And then Ridge comes in, and the way she just, I don't know, just the way she looked at him. And I'm not a Ridge Brooke person, not at all, but it was so sweet and honest. You know, it was while everything else was real flashy around him, because, you know, it's about the fashion industry, blah, blah, blah. And the way Brooke just honestly loved him was so cute. And I just remember that's one of my favorite memories. And another one is when Stephanie need Eric in the groin.
That is by far one of my all-time favorite memories. Another memory is one of my favorite memories is one that happened that Yorpa actually mentioned.
Yorpa Le Sorbet.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wait, do I have her? I have her.
Okay. Every time I hear that, it just makes me cringe. She goes, my favorite scene was when Sally and Stephanie got drunk and Sally cut Steph's hair. This is all will always stand out as one of my memories when I think of Sally.
Yes.
No matter how much they fought, they still respected each other deep down.
Which, I love that saying.
Which is totally true. It's in many ways, it's sort of a Vicky
drunk
Dorian relationship.
Oh,
but,
exactly. That's perfect. You nailed it there.
And DMFJ piped in with another, actually a couple of them, but I'm only going to read one because I didn't actually watch this part, so I found it very intriguing. She goes, I remember the weird story where Brooke had a breakdown or something and was running around Barbados with a doll she called Bridget. I think they just found out that Eric was Bridget's dad and not Ridge. That little girl was in the movie Con Air, too. I don't remember her name, though. So if you remember any of that, I'd be very interested to hear the background on that story.
I believe... it was either postpartum or Eric threatened to take Bridget from her, and she kind of went nuts, and that's basically all I remember. I didn't keep up with Bold and the Beautiful as much as I should have. I never quit it completely, but that's one that I kind of remember. And they the Barbados thing, I forgot it was in Barbados. So, yeah, that's really interesting that she remembers that. You know, it's interesting what sticks in our minds, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I remember Rick, who plays Rick Lansing on General Hospital,
mm-hmm.
played Whip, and the way he had awesome chemistry with Brooke. And then they just kind of wrote him out. So I remember him and, you know, just very Storm and the original Storm and all of that. I just, yeah, I have a lot of good memories of Bold and the Beautiful.
Okay.
Because it's one of the few soaps I watched from the beginning. So.
Well, and I would have really liked for Sally to have been able to, or the actress who portrayed Sally to have made it to the 20-year mark. And it's really sad that she didn't. So looking.
But we still love and remember her.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Oh, I loved. Did you love this week how when Ridge hit Rick, what was Phoebe doing? She was just running around.
She basically went on, how do I put this? The,
ran around Australia. It was like they were trying to get all their money's worth of this location and they followed her around everywhere just to get all these shots of Australia.
She basically ran around Sydney in a swimsuit with Rick chasing her after having just been bashed in the head. I'm not exactly sure
how old is she?
18.
She acts like she's 5.
Oh, I just thought of something. Before we continue any further, we have to remind people, since we're only a few minutes into this, this is the podcast that people need to be counting how many times I say I mean and how many times you say what?
You know.
Okay, so how many times
and I've already
Lisa
said it two
says
or three
you
times.
Know. So what's going to happen is we need you to count up the number of times I say I mean and Lisa says you know, and then email those to us. The first person who has the closest correct answer, which will be determined by our
Mojo
Mike, our producer Mike, who will be counting up the totals for us, will then be getting a autographed picture of who?
David Fumero.
David Fumero.
Christian on One Life to Live.
And speaking of One Life to Live, we
is like the best story ever.
Well, okay, we'll go to that. But before we go to that, TV Fan Online broke some big news this week.
Oh, yeah, you can go to that one.
About the fact that, and Kamar Del Reyes was injured.
You said it!
Yeah. I'm actually working on improving my name pronunciations. Went and injured himself. We don't know if it was whether or not it was on set, but he was injured himself, which resulted in him, or which is going to result in him needing surgery sometime in the near future. And so we want to give a shout out to him, hope that the surgery, when it goes well, or when it happens, goes well, and that he has a speedy recovery.
He has a sling, so now we know why.
It makes sense now, doesn't it?
He's bashing himself, so yes, get better soon. But let's get to the juice, okay?
Let's
get to the juice.
This came out, and people, fans across the internet went crazy.
Oh. Are we talking about Erica?
Yes.
Slezak? I respect her. I've always respected and loved her, because I know the kind of work she does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I read this, and my respect level skyrocketed.
Went through the roof.
Chick has some balls. Let's just say it.
The woman has some brass balls. Knockers.
I love her, love her, love her. Go ahead, take it while I wallow in the love.
Well, basically, folks, she called out One Life to Live on the writing that has been taking place as of recently. And let me make sure I've got myself in the right place here. Just a moment.
ErikaSlezak.com.
Yes, she commented on everything from the recent storylines involving Star to Dan Gauthier. Dan Gauthier's departure to...
My boyfriend.
Her own personal, her own storylines currently on the show. It's in the newsletter. So if you haven't visited her website, you need to go there. I believe it's ErikaSlezak.com. You go there. She has the March newsletter, and it's actually a PDF file, and it's almost 10 pages. So
it doesn't matter. It's worth every second of these 10 pages to read, people.
Oh, yes, exactly.
She calls people out by name and what she says and what she doesn't say. It is loud and proud and out there. I adore her. I adore her. Where do we start?
Let's start with Star, because in our last Top 5 podcast, you mentioned the fact that you thought that the writing for Star was not right, and that the fact that it was being the character, what was her name again?
Brittany
was getting the storylines that Star should be going. When posed the question, I don't know if you've seen the scenes with Star and Cole, but as a mother, how do you feel about Star's bedroom scenes? She replied, I think that they went too far with that. Star is only meant to be a freshman in high school, and yet they are talking about prom now in what is coming up. But she's a freshman in high school, and it's too young. I know they actually didn't do anything at the ski lodge, but they intended to. They were alone together in a bedroom, and it's wrong because it sends a message that it is okay to do that. Even if you decide not to do it in the end, it's okay to go and do it. It's wrong. I think it's very wrong. Then she goes,
Erica. A lot of people felt that way. Go ahead.
She then, the questioner, which I believe is her fan club president, I could be wrong on that, so don't quote me, follows up with,
right.
I'm sure they're going to get some letters from parents out there. I was taken aback a little by it, but you know what it is. It is too. She is a young face. Obviously, she is maturing and all, but she still looks like a young girl, and she is a young girl. To which Erica responded, Kristen is a young girl. She's only 14 or 15. She's just too young, and she was very nervous about it, too. To which the president responded, in the scenes, she seemed very relaxed. Erica responds, she's a good actress, but it was just wrong. I hate to see it, but Dina will push the envelope in any direction. She needs to realize that we are not writing for a movie at a one-time thing, but for the character that has to live with the actions for a long time. Oh, and it gets even better, because then the person follows up with a question about Dina, who is the
former writer? She's the current writer.
She's the current writer. She's asked, Dina may be a fan of yours, but she's not a Vicky fan. To which Erica responds, no, she's not. Dina makes noises about, oh yeah, you're so wonderful, this and that. And then she writes nothing. She wants to write her own characters, and she wants to write stories that she thinks are interesting, but nobody else does. She writes stories, she doesn't write stories, she writes events. It's like one event, let's have a bomb, let's have a plane crash, but there is no story.
I mean, what do you say?
I think we need more applause.
I'm so just in awe of this woman, in awe of her, for telling it like it is, because so many actors toe that company line because they're afraid of losing their jobs, and I'm not blaming them for that. You've got to eat. But this chick is calling it like it is. Love you, Erica Slezak. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, people. This is just the tip of the iceberg. She goes on talking about other vets.
Yeah, she mentioned Stuart Damon in that whole controversy. Asked about, were you shocked when General Hospital decided to kill off Stuart Damon's Alan? She responds, yes, I was. He's a long, long, long-term family member, a Quartermain. I can see why they did it, though, because losing a character who is not front and center now, but who is a part of a core family, has repercussions throughout the whole family and storyline. But even so, I was shocked.
Oh, yeah. And guys, listen what she says about my boyfriend, Dan Gauthier. The fan club president says, asks, have you spoken to Dan Gauthier after he received his well-deserved Emmy nomination? Erica says, yes, I called Dan as soon as I heard about it. I was thrilled. I feel vindicated. Okay, this is a side by me. Erica, when Dan Gauthier was fired, Erica wrote an open letter saying that it was bull, it shouldn't have happened. He was the best Kevin that they had ever had. He should have been kept, and that she called for fan reaction to it. Okay, now I'll continue what Erica was saying. She goes on to say, I called Heather Tom, but I didn't have a chance to speak to her, so I just left her a message. I left Danny a message. That's so cute. And he called me back. I'm so excited for him. I want him to win in the worst possible way because he is a wonderful actor, and he got the rotten end of the shaft. He was the best Kevin we ever had, a mature grown-up Kevin. He was just terrific. the fan club president says. There was no reason to, well, obviously because of salaries and stuff like that, but it was just such a dumb move on their part. Erica says, are you ready?
Okay.
It was a dumb move, period. It had nothing to do with salary. Finally, somebody tells the truth.
Okay. And it's just another indication of the fact that the only people who can literally do anything in daytime these days are the stars who have been around. Erica Slezak can say this about One Life to Live because she is One Life to Live. Susan Lucci can keep the actress who portrays Myrtle from being fired because she's Susan Lucci. Tony Geary can write his own scripts because he's Tony Geary. When it comes
and
to
we have to applaud them when they do this.
Exactly. When it comes to these soaps, these are the only people, they are the final buffer between us, the fans, and the completely idiotic behavior of the writers and staff.
Well, did you read what she talked about Clint and Dorian? The fan club president said, for Clint to be involved with Dorian is ridiculous. Erica says, it's not a bad thing if he's doing it for his own reasons, just for the sex or to piss Vicky off, but that he actually cares about Dorian and listens to her and believes her? Hello, fan club president, especially with the history that they have, the history with Dorian, and then Erica interjects, it's all out the window, but Dina doesn't care about the rich history of the show, which is evident in what she writes.
Which we see in the ratings. What is it about?
Which we see on the screen every day.
Yeah, what is it about these soaps that these writers are such idiots that they do not get the point that if they want their ratings to increase, they need to write for the entire cast, they need to write for core families, and they need to eliminate these exterior characters who have little or no connections to the show.
Yes.
Which gets me on a side rant.
Okay, because I got one too. Go ahead.
Okay, I am calling out Sheffer.
What?
He is really starting to piss me off, and I did not think that is possible. How is it possible that he can take Riley's semi-okay action-adventure storylines, completely botch up every single potential that there is on the show, with the exception of Nick and Chelsea, and with the exception of EJ and Sammy, and even to a certain extent he's done that as well, and turn this into one of the most boring shows to the point where the show is at a 2.2 in the ratings. He is writing for a cast of characters that are specifically pretty much 20 to 30 for the most part. He is writing for Sammy, Lucas, and EJ. Well, the problem is you cannot build a show around the EJ's interactions with Willow, EJ's interactions with Sammy, EJ's interactions with Billy, EJ's interactions with Kate. Where is EJ? EJ is a Demira. Why is he not interacting with everybody across the board? Why is he in this really sucky storyline about a brainwashed Steve when we could be having him in a good storyline versus Steve and Kayla? We could have him in a good storyline versus John and Marlena. We could have him in a good storyline versus Hope and Bo. Or Kate. And where's Victor? Victor and the Demiras have been rivals for years. Why can we not have this happen? EJ is a great character, probably one of the best characters that Days of Our Lives has brought on as a new character in years. But you cannot build an entire show around that. And the other point is, Days fans are used to having adventure storylines, almost as much as General Hospital ones are.
They're ADD.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, Sheffer.
Not in a bad way.
I'm sorry, Sheffer, but you wrote As the World Turns brilliantly. It succeeded in the ratings. However, the difference between As the World Turns and Days of Our Lives is As the World Turns is based on character-driven storylines. Days of Our Lives has never been based on character-driven storylines so much as plot point storylines. And while I respect the fact that you're trying to become more character-driven storylines by taking out the adventure in these stories, you are systematically dismantling this soap. And it's pissing me off. So get your act together. Damn it.
I like that punctuation at the end. That was awesome. I very much respect that opinion because, A, I agree, and B, you're passionate about it because you love the show. You want to see it succeed, and you know what Sheffer can do. Hello? What's going on with him? I don't get it either. I mean, like you said, I appreciate what he's trying to do, but at the same time, they've got to get these characters out of these insular stories and have more umbrella stories and have more interaction, mining from the rich history, period. That's just how it goes. And I'm sick to death of these writers, and I'm not saying this is Sheffer, but I'm sick to death of writers. I'm sick to death of Megan McTavish, Dana Higley, David Kreitzman. I'm sick to death of them falling in love with their own creations to the point that they exclude vets and ignore and or rewrite history. I'm sick to death of it. I know that when you create your own character, that you become attached and you really love them. But at the same time, guys, it doesn't work for us. We grew up with Erica Kane. We grew up knowing Kendall. We didn't grow up with Babe. We don't care. We grew up with Vicky Buchanan. We did not grow up with Evangeline Williamson. We don't care. And I know she's very popular. And I don't want her gone. I just want more balance. I want more balance, and I want just common sense, people. Just use your common sense. Mind the rich history of these soaps. Use them. Keep characters in character. Do your jobs. Don't make me come up there.
You have, once again, One Life to Live. You have Phil Carey, who, rather than being putting on reoccurring status, and it says, okay, I'm going to either get the respect I deserve, or I'm not going to re-sign. So guess what? He is not re-signing as Asa Buchanan. And you know what? That pisses me off. Asa Buchanan should be the same as Lila Quartermain. Asa Buchanan,
or Alice Horton.
Yes, Asa Buchanan. I mean, well, and for all intents and purposes, David Canary on All My Children. That guy has put in his time. He should have a contract for the rest of his life.
Respect should be given. You know, as many times as they've been humiliated on air and have always shown up for work and always done their job, the respect should be shown. That's one thing Days of Our Lives has always done with Frances Reed, who plays Alice. Her health won't allow her to be on that much, but she has a contract. And when she wants to show up, they go get her. They limousine her in. And they do everything they can to make it possible for her to be on. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have made the concentrated effort to respect Frances Reed because of all the time she's put in on this soap. So, Days of Our Lives, thank you very much for that. But One Life to Live, All My Children, General Hospital, you can kiss my butt. The way you're treating these older actors who deserve your respect, they've given 30-some-odd years to you, and these humiliating storylines, some of them have been great. I know it's just a job, and I know it's an industry. But where's the loyalty? Did you not know? Remember what happened to Guiding Light when they unceremoniously dumped Michael Zaslow because he was sick? Their ratings plummeted because the loyalty.
Well, and speaking of trying to do everything possible to give someone some respect and bring them in, we were working on having a guest with us here today, and they didn't quite make it on time, and so with us today, we have Mike.
And hi, everybody.
With us, we have Mike, who apparently...
Mojo!
Now, how is it possible
Mojo
that I
house?
Don't get intro music?
Because you made up the salsa dance theme music to Daytime Concert.
I see.
That is your theme music.
Oh, that is your theme music.
I don't have theme music. That's the sad thing.
Well,
and
Mike,
I'm in control of it.
Mike is with us here today. He was going to try and be here earlier, but apparently something was running behind because he didn't make it quite on time.
We said three-ish.
Yeah, we said three. The email I sent out said I need to be able to record Daytime Confidential from point A to point B. Be there on time.
Mojo, when Luke speaks.
Yeah.
I did have some technical issues.
I think Mike's losing his mojo.
Yeah, I've tried to tweak my computer to be better, and so I don't have to buy a new one, and you know what happens there.
Tweak.
In other words, he was giving it some addictive personalities. Well, we were just moving on to As the World Turns, who, in addition, like we had just been mentioning about the fact that Paul Carey is leaving One Life to Live.
Phil.
Why did I say Paul? I don't know. Anyways, Phil Carey is leaving One Life to Live. But on As the World Turns, Tamara Tooney is also leaving As the World Turns after almost 20 years on the show.
But that's her choice, right?
Well, yes, it is her choice, But I find it very intriguing because of the fact that it's sort of indicative of what we're seeing a lot on various soaps these days. Either people are cutting and running and looking for other stuff, or they're not getting the respect they deserve and therefore not re-signing because it's beneath them. And it's really quite sad, in my opinion.
Well, it only works, I think, if you have a backup plan. It's kind of like that theory of don't quit your job until you have a job, and she has a pretty full schedule, so
true.
I guess she can just do without it.
Oh, she's all hot primetime style now.
The one thing I don't get is why would they bring on her nephew as a nephew and then let her go and not use them as a family unit?
I think she's the wrong color.
Oh.
Oh, God.
What?
I don't think so.
No, I'm serious. I think they just get in the rut, writers, and we just talked about these writers get in the rut of their writing for their own creations. And I believe that they are stuck on the Hughes, Gwen. I mean, where's Barbara?
I've been waiting for a Barbara Ira SmackDown forever, and we're not getting it.
And I'm not saying this is a racial thing, but I'm just saying she wasn't created, so maybe they're just not interested in writing for her. So,
well, speaking
which is
of,
too bad.
Speaking of SmackDowns, though, this last week on As the World Turns, Craig took over worldwide. And the new Craig, or the old new Craig, is returning on the 10th. And I got a post in either in the forums or in email, I'm not exactly sure which was someone was taking me over to the task over the fact that I said that Hunt Block is Craig.
Right.
Apparently there are a few people who are not so happy with that observation.
Jeez,
or opinion.
I wonder why.
Well, I just say that Scott Bryce wasn't on for a very, very long time, and when they brought Craig back, it was during the time that you were watching, so for you, that's the only Craig that you know.
Well, and this
right?
is true.
Well, he's a baby.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I've been
you
out of diapers
a
for
baby.
A while.
Well, that's not what I heard.
Oh,
thanks. I saw those Depends in your cart.
Yeah.
But Scott Bryce's is Craig to a lot of people. So
I just hope they don't ruin him.
Oh,
I just
good luck
I have
with
no.
That.
I just it just that whole thing yesterday. That I watched with when Adam. Now that was Adam's last day. At least the actor's last day is Adam.
Yes,
thank
it was.
God and good riddance.
I have to
oh,
say that
started.
Was the most anticlimactic climax I've ever watched,
don't
and
get me started.
It was just it was awful. And then to have it all wrapped up is okay. Well, I'll keep our mouth shut and go back to Oakdale like nothing happened.
Don't get me started.
I'm thinking, no consequence for crime, nothing again. Criminals
no,
get away with
Maddie
everything.
No, because it's Maddie and Gwen. Because it's Maddie and Gwen.
Yeah.
If it were Jade now.
Well, you know, and then that's the other thing, is Maddie was all concerned about what Jade was going to do, and I was thinking, how did she get there? And why was she there in the first place?
Exactly. How is she going to get home? That's going to be an awkward ride home if she hitches with the other ones, but...
Do you guys talk about spoilers here?
Speaking of...
all the time.
Jennifer Landon's going to be taking on a double role.
Yep.
Because Jade, if they could get Jade out of this quadrangle or this quad between these two married couples, it would be so much better. But they're going to keep her locked in, and she's going to – I don't know why she's so focused on Gwen when Maddie's the one that harasses her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We debated whether or not in a recent podcast whether or not Thorsten K was going to be re-signing a contract and whatever. Yeah. Would you like to take this one and roll with it, Lisa?
Thorsten K has re-signed with All My Children. He inked a new contract with the show about a month before his pact was set to expire, which was the end of this month. And Alicia Minshew says, more story with him, the better. With him. She didn't say for him. She said with him, the better. And terms were not disclosed. So, but who cares? Thorsten. Zach is not leaving.
And now that he signed a new contract.
One of the few things on that show that works.
Well, and now that he signed a new contract, we can take and have him get a makeover like you and I recommended in the last podcast.
Just a haircut.
Yeah, a haircut.
But I just love
and
him.
And he could
thank
be out
you.
Of suits a little bit more often.
Thank you for re-signing. So, oh, Mike's here, right?
Yeah.
We love
That's
Mike,
always good
right?
news when somebody wants to stay, huh?
Well, I want you on here, Mike. I have a reason why. You ready?
Okay. Well, splendid! This calls for a sexy party!
Oh, no.
I love sound effects. Aren't they fun?
I take it you've refilled your sound effects file.
Well, I knew Mike was coming on, so I gave him theme music, and then I wanted to have a sexy party. And then the next time you got all ill with me, Luke, I was going to do this.
Oh, ill, that's funny.
Ill with you? What are you trying to imply?
When I talk over you and you get mad at me, which you should get mad at me. I was just going to do the Chewbacca sound so make you laugh, not
hey,
be mad at me.
I'm as much a breaker of the rule of talking over of anyone, so...
But I'm just so thrilled Mike's here because he's so much fun. And...
Speaking of happiness and unhappiness...
Oh, my goodness.
I guess all my children's happy because they won the 18th annual GLAAD Media Awards for, I believe it is, the character of Bianca.
No, they won Best Soap.
They won Best Soap.
Ugh. Best daytime drama.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I mean, what was their other competition?
I was going to say, what else were they drawing from on
was
that?
Was it the only one? It should have been As the World Turns for Luke's coming out, but then he kind of
I think they did that. They won that last year, didn't they?
Did they? Well, he disappeared,
I think they
so
did.
Maybe that's why.
Well...
Since he didn't get a story for the rest of the year.
And what's so interesting about this is, in a recent interview with Brian Franz, he was asked about All My Children. And let me say, people, brace yourselves, because this is a little bit...
Should I mute?
Well, no, it's just don't go high-pitched scream. Do a medium one.
All right.
It won't take out of our ears. The question was, All My Children's head writer was recently fired, reportedly because of crazy stunts she wrote. Did this show go too far? His response, and folks, this is a little bit long, so bear with me, but it's worth it, because the end, there is a sucker punch like you would not believe.
We're used to it.
Children took lots of risks over the last couple years. At a time when the country was debating whether gays should be married, we were telling the story of a lesbian whose child had been kidnapped, and the whole country was rooting for her to get her child back to the mom. Side note, they forgot to mention the fact she'd been raped, or the fact that her best friend stole them. She was relatable and warm, and the character has become a beloved character. There's a case of risk-taking that was really embraced by the audience. Conversely, though, there was a couple of stories where if had the chance to go back and redo them, I'm not sure we'd do them. Somewhere in the middle of the Zoe Zarf transgender storyline we're telling right now, part of the audience is passionately approving what we're doing, and there's a portion that are not embracing it with the same excitement. Is that not the understatement of the century?
Oh, don't get me started.
They go, the
story... It's just company line from him.
It's company line, and it's BS, BS, BS. The story was conceived with a finite ending. We wanted to introduce the character and explore the issue to create the relationship with Zoe and Bianca, and we've had a chance to do that. The storyline will be over by the end of April. Side note and translation. We wanted to grab headlines, maybe get an Emmy nomination, and give Bianca a man.
And it didn't work.
Megan was someone who took great risks and was innovative, yet at the same time very true to the heart and soul of All My Children.
But we fired her.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better.
I can't even... I mean, whatever, dude. I mean, hip deep.
This is... I mean, he's shoveling more crap than I did on the farm as a kid when mucking out stalls. Turning out 250 hours of television a year was a grind, and she's been doing it for a while. I've actually told her if she takes time off, brace yourself, I would be more than happy to hire her as a story consultant. I have no words to describe how full of bleep he is.
Bleep. Bleep. I think it's just crap. He's just crap. We were cheering when Megan McTavish was fired. If Brian Franz gets fired, parades in the
streets. Dancing in the streets, huh?
That's right.
Oh, definitely. Because
he's killing that genre on ABC. Period. The end.
Well, I have to say that CBS is in good company now.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I said to Luke yesterday.
Go ahead.
That I don't know why. I find myself wondering why I'm watching every day. I just am so disillusioned now
what
that I
is
feel
Jean
like
Passante
I want to.
Doing?
I'd rather. I don't know. I don't
what
know.
Is she doing?
It's just a mess. And Guiding
why?
Lights hit the skids, and it's just everything. Everything
well,
I watch now is.
At least
Hogan Sheffer is not coming through.
No, not at all. You missed Luke's rant about Hogan Sheffer just a minute ago.
I fast forward through anything with Belle and Sean.
Well, who does?
I don't care. I know, but it's just, you know.
You know their squish couple name is?
Hmm.
Shell.
Yeah.
And we just take the S off of it. And
oh.
Well, and it's what you call a shell of a couple.
They're terrible. Well, they're terrible.
Speaking of days, we got word this last week that Ashley Benson, the portrayer of Abby, is leaving Days of Our Lives.
Very strange.
Yeah,
strange situation there.
Apparently, she's leaving to pursue a movie career, but it begs the question: Why will they recast the character of Ashley?
No,
you don't think they will, Abby? Sorry.
No, they. I read in Soap Opera Digest that they're not going to recast. They're going to recast long enough to have some scenes with Jack when he comes back. But Jed's leaving too, and what they're very upset.
The Jed, the guy who plays
Jed,
Max.
Is no. Jed, the loser,
Willow.
Bobby Harry.
Oh,
guy.
Okay.
Who looks like a girl?
Yes, Willow's
brother.
Can I
say that?
Yes,
I said that out loud.
He looks like a Famali. I'll say it.
What?
He looks like Sanjaya.
A Famali female.
He looks like Sanjaya
he does.
On All My Children.
He should wear the pony hawk.
American Idol. God.
He should wear the pony hawk. That'd be awesome. Well, anyways, they're very upset that they were trying to set up the story with Max and Abby, and then Jed is a spoiler, and it's all been thrown away, and Jed's leaving, and I don't even know if Max is staying.
Well, it serves them right for not pursuing Mimi and Max, but she left on her own accord. But if they weren't willing to do what it took to keep her around, then that's their fault, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, go. Well, you're very petulant about that soap today.
It's pissing me off. This is a soap that should be number 3, at least in the ratings. It should be Young and the Restless, General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, and then everything else afterwards, in terms of if it deserves it. And, it just makes me mad.
All of the ingredients are there, guys. That's why Luke's so angry, and it's just being wasted. I mean, Steve Johnson, Patch, we've gone without him for 16 years, right? And then he comes back as some Nick guy, ice cold, nobody recognizes him. He gets his memory back for 5 seconds, and then he's totally a different person because of a devil card. That doesn't work.
That devil card has to be one of the worst things ever.
And it's just terrible. It's terrible.
It's hilarious because the next time somebody ticks me off, I think I'm going to pull a tarot card out of my pocket and see what happens.
I don't even own a set. Maybe I should go get some. Mike, going back to As the World Turns, what is happening there? What is happening? Why did they? I'm lost. Adam Munson.
Why is it going
now
through the
crapper? A psycho rapist, right? Now, you've watched the show for how long, Mike?
Mostly, I'd say since the early 80s.
Okay, long time.
Mm-hmm. Long time.
Adam Munson has never been a crazy psycho rapist.
No,
especially
he hasn't.
After, you remember how he reacted when Margot was raped? His mother?
Vaguely. He was a lot more, he was like the last time he was around, he was struggling with the truth that Hal was his father.
Right.
But he was this little blonde kid. Now, I don't say little kid, but you know what I mean. He was like a teenager, I guess.
Right.
And
he was a kid. He was very sweet, very sensitive, very smart.
And he had good relationships with his brothers for the most part.
Exactly. He loved them. He stuck up for them. He was interesting. And now he comes back. I understand maybe arrogance, living out in California and being a big shot. Maybe some snobbery, but psycho rapist?
Right, I don't understand it either.
This is Hal and Margo's son. This is crazy.
And then we've taken the issue of how rape is supposed to be a violent crime, and no way has anything to do with love and romance. And then yesterday, he was telling Gwen how much he loved her while he was trying to rape her. So that's a totally missed message on that one.
That's a passion's ploy.
Yeah.
To glorify rape that way, make it about sex when it's not, it's about violence.
Right.
It makes me crazy. And I don't get it. I don't get what's going on over there. One of my all-time favorite soaps is just completely off the rails.
There's no follow-through with anything. I mean,
no,
Casey's gambling is... actually, there was an article in USA Today about how online gambling in college students is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
They could have really done something with that. And now it's just like, it was just a a plot device to get Adam to set Will up so that he could have Gwen. It just makes no sense at all.
So I used to see what's so special about Gwen, but I don't now.
I don't either. Mm-mm.
It's just completely gone off.
You can't replace her with Jen. I mean, you can't make her Jennifer.
And who wants her to be? Except for the writers. Right, I liked Gwen the way she was, didn't you?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was the appeal.
Awesome. Exactly. She was awesome. Mm-hmm. And now she's... If she whimpers and cries one more time, I swear.
I mute the screen. Or fast forward it.
Well, speaking of special, there is a special event coming up in St. Louis on April.
That was brilliant.
Guys, can we talk about something else? Let's do that.
Hey, I'm watching the time. You're the one who is cracking the whip on me on time earlier.
Yada yada.
I'm trying to make sure we do it. Okay. Speaking of special, on April the 21st, the Gabriel Project is going to be featuring a charity event in St. Louis, which is Daytime Stars Come Out in St. Louis. It will be featuring Jeff Branson, Melissa Claire Egan, and Chrishell Staus. In order to get tickets are $70 a piece, which will include a full lunch buffet, unlimited soft drinks and dessert, coffee and tea. For details on how to purchase your tickets, you can visit the website, which is fourthhourproductions.com/stlouis.html. You can go there for any information. The Gabriel Project is a favorite project of many soap stars, and mm-hmm. So anytime that soap stars get out of either the East Coast or the West Coast and come to the middle part of the country for something,
we throw a party.
Exactly. We want to bring it to people's attention, because if you live near the St. Louis area, it's something that you should definitely consider going to. And once again, that is April 21st, and I believe there still are tickets available. So that you
that's
could,
a Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. Let's go.
So that is an event that's coming up. Earlier,
if I weren't 10 hours away, I'd go.
Is it 10 hours from where you're at?
Yes.
Well,
I would totally go, though.
Oh.
Go ahead.
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Speaking of events, though, this last week, and I missed it because I tried pulling it up before the podcast as a reference, but Vincent Irizarry recently appeared on Good Morning LA yeah. with, I believe it was Michelle Stafford. So...
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, Michelle Stafford and Michael,
the guy
Grazide,
who plays Daniel. What really excites me the most about this is the fact that since he's been on these temporary 13-week contracts, hopefully his appearing at publicity events means that he might be getting more of a more long-term contract.
Well,
crossing
he's in
my
negotiations
fingers.
Now. He's in negotiations.
He didn't say that.
Now.
He didn't say that because one of the L.A. anchors asked him if his family was with him and how they were liking California, and he said they were still in New Jersey because his status is kind of up in the air right now. So
right.
He
well,
doesn't
I've read,
really have a firm.
I've read several sources that say he's in negotiations now with them for a long-term contract, which I believe because... They're trying to up the beefcake factor,
mm-hmm.
According to Soap Opera Digest, because I have a story. Luke, are you ready?
I'm ready.
And who is it, Foxy, that loves this guy?
Oh, yes.
Billy
our
Warlock
Days of Our Lives writer.
Has signed on to join Young and the Restless. Soap vet Billy Warlock has been hired in the contract role of Jack's campaign manager. Warlock joins another soap vet, Vincent Irizarry. It's a smart move to bring them on, says an insider. The show is in transition, and both Vincent and Billy are sexy, viable leading men with big fan bases.
Well, and this is my one question about this show, because before the podcast, you and I were discussing the fact that rumors have it that in addition to Drew leaving, now Sharon might also be leaving.
Right.
With Sharon gone, in terms of that age group, what women are there left besides Lauren, Victoria, and Phyllis?
Hmm.
There aren't any.
I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, I'm completely drawing
so,
a blank. Nikki, but...
Now we currently have, and I'm going to toot my own horn here a minute because I predicted this months ago, but I predicted long ago that eventually we are going to end up with a Corbell, Colleen, Kevin storyline, and today Kevin and Colleen are pretending to be dating together.
Stop it! Stop! My ears are melting! Stop!
To get JT off of their backs.
Quit!
So... But
no, ick, ick, Ick!
In a previous,
I'm going to poke my eyes out if they get together.
Well, in a previous podcast, we discussed the fact that there's way more men than females in that age demographic.
It's like it's Alaska or something.
Yeah, I mean, ooh, Genoa City, Alaska.
Like CSI Miami.
Yeah, there you go.
You're a funny
Lisa's
guy today,
packing
Luke.
Her bags.
Oh, I'm on my way. Is Dan Gauthier there?
Well, he might be. Maybe
oh,
he.
Dude,
well,
score.
Maybe you know that might be something. Someone was mentioning the forums. It was either Sudsy Kristen or Molly Pop, but I'm not
Probably
sure
me.
Which. But someone mentioned that a Victor Jr. might be coming to town.
Yeah, that's Hope's son.
Maybe Dan Gauthier could be him.
Oh no, no, it's too old to be Victor Jr.
Oh no, no, yeah, he's way too old. I mean, I know they Soros kids. I don't mean it that way. I mean, I know that they Soros kids all the time, but he would. He would be, wouldn't he be younger than...
Yeah, he'd be around 25 at the
younger
most,
than
wouldn't
Nick?
He? Yeah, he's much younger than Nick. He was only born, what, 10 years ago at the most? Is that right?
I don't remember.
I have to look that up. Go ahead. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and... in
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
You need a train derailing sound, I
yes,
think.
Yes, I do. Okay.
I had one, but...
I was going to ask you, though, Mike, what you thought of Emily's appearance in Genoa City this past week. It was all hyped, and yet she's basically not been around.
No, all she did was ask Amber about Allison, and then as soon as she walked out of the coffee shop, Amber picked up her phone and called her. That was all it really was.
Wow, riveting.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay, it somebody explain something there. To me.
Okay.
Real quick, going back to As the World Turns, just real quick. Emily, prostitute, right?
Yeah.
Dusty knows about this, right?
Right.
Dusty's got the whole higher ground, I can't believe you're a prostitute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he take money from Barbara to seduce Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what brought him back.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well,
okay,
oh yeah, he's no saint.
Is yeah, it and is ahead. It also not interesting the fact that now once again Craig owns Emily's company? I mean, it never fails. Emily
owns
can never.
Emily. I was like, ooh.
He can. Emily can never escape him because she went and sold the company to Worldwide to get away from him, and now he owns Worldwide.
Don't chicka don't don't chicka don't.
So, what did you think about that? Did you like that little twist?
No.
No.
I think that they've been writing Lily as a wimp, and it pisses me off. This Lily is a strong character.
She is a strong character, but I'm assuming that her drugs make her like completely clueless.
And they do those weight loss drugs.
I just have more of a issue with the technical aspects of a board. Not, I mean, there's no way that Lucinda would have been gone that long. And there's no way that they
would
have just signed all that money over. Lily would not be able to sign one piece of paper to this multinational corporation and have it stick. It would have to go through a board, I would think. I don't know anything about that, but that's how I think.
In addition to that, Lucinda is not stupid enough to leave Lily with her power of attorney.
Mm-mm.
The woman has been in her right mind for at least a year now.
Right.
She should have got her power of attorney back.
Right. It should have been expired.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Lucinda's dumb.
Lucinda?
It's sarcasm.
Okay. Well, before
Sorry, go ahead.
Before we wrap this podcast up, we have two stories that we need to get to. One is The View, and one
oh,
is
must we.
Is the Emmy battle. Which do
Can
we want to go with first?
Can I interject something? Did
Please
you,
do.
Just something on your notes here that somebody was asking about Carly coming back.
Yes.
She's due back in May, but there was no date specified, so I don't know if you mentioned
Those
that.
Those little jerks. Sorry.
So, next month.
I miss you, Carly.
Well, gosh, no. I know. No kidding.
Maura West,
oh.
You leave a big hole.
No kidding.
Mm. All right, go ahead, Luke. We'll leave you alone.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let me speak.
So, thank you. It's so...
Shut up.
It's
Don't
so nice to
you.
Know that I can speak on this podcast. Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. Okay.
Let me do it again.
Well... Speaking of making a whole lot of uncomprehendable noise, The View as of late has begun to piss me off. And I don't know, Mike, do you watch The View?
No.
Lucky you.
Okay.
I don't think that my head couldn't stand four chatty women for an hour, or however many it is. No, I can't
four
take that kind of stuff.
Four chatty women? Is that what you said?
That's a little
is
bit sexist,
four,
Mike.
Five? It's like listening to Regis and Kelly. I can't listen to that crap either for a long time. It's too much chatter. They talk about nothing.
Well, all I'm going to say about The View, and this is what's really pissing me off about
it. I'm just going to stay over here. Us women, I'll stay over here.
Yeah. Is the fact that I'm getting sick and tired. I like the banter between the four women as long as Rosie is not doing an activism spiel. It's one thing to be able to discuss politics, and it's one thing to be able to have heated debates. It's an entirely different thing where she takes things that are her opinions and try and pass them off as fact. And sometimes she's right, sometimes Elizabeth is right. I'm not getting into who's right or who's wrong, but I'm getting really sick of every single episode we are hearing her call for or making accusations of treason against the president, because that's a very serious charge. And half the time, Rosie, if Rosie considers herself to be a fairly intellectual person, but half the time, the stuff that she's quoting or the stuff that she's using as her argument is either half truths or is not
manipulations.
True. Or manipulations. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I don't mind having good arguments as long as you can argue well.
A valid point.
And so far, her points are more her opinion than actual truth. Like this last week, she said that she basically inferred or implied that Building 7 of the World Trade Center 7 was taken down by explosives because there was no way that steel could or metal could burn steel. Well, then later on the later in the day on like Inside Edition or whatever, they were commenting on Rosie's claims or accusations, and they were talking with scientists who were saying that there was no way what she was claiming could be true. And I've noticed this more and more as she becomes more and more passionate in her activism, that her claims are not so much truth as they are opinions. And it's pissing me off, because if she just stick to opinions and... Anyways, the rest of the show, whenever they're not discussing politics...
Right. If she would state such as opinions, hey, that's just my opinion, that's different. But she doesn't. She goes, I know this for a fact all the time.
Yeah, she blurs
Rosie,
the...
Rosie, shush it.
She blurs the line between fact and her opinion so often that any person who's not a... intelligent or a knowledgeable listener or viewer is just going to basically be snowjobbed by her. And that's not to say that Elizabeth doesn't have some of her own opinions that are a little bit question marked. But people,
it just seems like Rosie does it a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. And
there you go.
Rosie's behavior towards Elizabeth on some of these things has been nothing short of outright horrible. So that's,
don't get me started. I just don't care enough about Rosie to even say anything. Go ahead. Next.
Well, before we wrap up, the final thing this last week, I don't know how many of you guys follow the Emmys, and I realize that this is more of a behind-the-scenes thing, but basically, for those of you who do not know, there are two academies within the Emmys. There is the West Coast Emmys, which are the LA-based Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and then there is the East Coast Television Series.
Is this like a rap war?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's happening is that because the primetime Emmys have a lot more money because they can charge more money for advertising fees, and because of the fact that they get better ratings, they hand out Emmy awards to everyone who is a nominee. Well, apparently any person who's
the
a nominee,
like a
who,
team.
Yes, if
like
if
the writing
like
team.
There's producers, okay. There's producers. Gotcha. If you are an Emmy producer, if you're a producer of a show and your name is listed under the primetime Emmys, you get an award and you don't have to pay for it. Well, apparently, either last year or the year before, the Daytime Emmy Academy went and told the people that the only people who will get an award for free are the people who are listed as the primary nominees.
So like Megan McTavish.
Exactly. So everybody else who is a winner has to pay for their Emmy award.
Are you joking me?
No. And you know how much each of those little suckers costs?
$250. No.
Yeah. So basically, they mentioned the fact, like in the article that I was reading, they were talking about the fact that, say, for instance, Martha Stewart Living one of her episodes that was nominated has 32 producers.
Oh, 32 producers?
Yeah, it are listed.
The show's not that long.
I don't know what it takes to
produce. Oh, you produce this minute. Now you produce this minute. Now, cut, you. I mean, that's just stupid.
Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So it says the new rule will bring significant savings to the National Academy of Arts and Sciences. The number of categories that have two or more dozen people behind each nomination. The number of producers nominated for Martha Stewart's show in the Best Lifestyle Program category is 38. Is 38. So if you take...
She's a high-maintenance chick.
So if you take and add that up... And
taking that to a new level.
If you add that up, that's $9,500 for one show.
Well, that was really quick. You did that beforehand.
No, I didn't. I did it while I was on the computer here.
Yeah,
I know.
So smart.
Not smart enough to do it in my head, but I'm smart enough to use a calculator on the computer.
Don't you love that thing? Anyways.
Oh, yes. Okay. So
$9,500.
What's interesting about this, though, is that... What I find intriguing is that, you know, in a podcast a while back, we discussed the fact that we wanted people to go to TV Fan or not TV Fan but TV Guide and vote for Kate Linder in their polls because it was a poll about whether or not she should get more screen time. Well, apparently she's either the co-committee chair of the awards.
So. Yes.
So what I find very intriguing is that here's an actress who is on a show that's well respected. She's the co-chair of this, but because of her role as co-chair, she's potentially not making it possible for everybody to get their awards. I mean, if you were listed on the show, don't you think you should get an award if your show won? If you're listed, don't you think that you should get an award and not have to pay for it?
Well, heck yeah.
Exactly.
All that work you go in, especially working for Martha Stewart.
That is not a cakewalk.
I know. And you know what? How they can save money? Cut out some of these musical montages on these shows. I mean,
bring back the longer video clips.
Ooh,
is this just a daytime thing?
For what?
This is just a daytime thing, isn't it?
They're
well, no, because...
Is it just a daytime Emmy?
This is the daytime Emmy Academy that's charging this. But what's happened is, and what's caused the huge controversy, is the fact that the Primetime Academy, when these two different academies use the Emmys as their central umbrella, but they've been feuding mm-hmm. with each other for years, apparently the Primetime Committee went and sent a letter to all the members of the daytime Emmy Award thing mm-hmm. and said, we'll pay for your Emmys for you.
Oh, too funny.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Well,
Many
producers on this podcast are on shows and on this podcast.
Yeah, you need about 30 more. You need 30 more.
Well, and you don't know this yet, but you at the beginning of this podcast.
You've been volunteered.
Yeah. It's basically what your job is, and this isn't should you accept it, choose it, it's part of your role as producer, is we are having a contest going for people, and in this episode, people were supposed to count out the number of times I say I mean, and Lisa says...
You know?
And the person who has the closest number to what you consider to be the official number, when you re-listen to this and tally them up, will get an autographed picture of...
David Fumero.
So... If you want to enter this contest, you need to take and email those to dc@tvfanonline.com. After listening to the podcast, we warned
maybe
you.
Maybe the email will get through this time.
And you can also post it in the forums under episode 47, which is what this will be, I believe. Yes, episode 47. There will be a thread there so people can comment on the episode. You can count what your total is. If you are exactly on... The first person who has the closest or the exact number will receive the autographed picture.
Dun,
so,
da, da, da,
Mike, you've got a little bit of homework.
So I have to listen to you guys now?
Yep, you have to listen to this podcast.
Oh, wait, I get to chewy him. I get to chewy him.
Well, that is pretty much it for this week. Before we
I do
go,
have a line of the week, though.
Oh, you do? I was just going to ask, before we go, does anybody have any final quick comments before we go?
Line of the week, One Life to Live. Antonia was talking about why would anybody want to burn down Capricorn.
Uh-huh.
And Todd said, maybe someone got pissed off about you charging $50 for a crappy bottle of wine or $10 for a watered-down drink or stale beer. said it to his face. I love that, Todd. I hate Todd with Evangeline, but I love that, Todd. I just thought that was hilarious. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
Mike, anything else?
Yes.
Any final comments?
No. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. Thank you for showing up, though belatedly.
Ooh.
I'm splendid. This calls for a sexy party.
I am on a bit of a roll today, aren't I?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week then, folks. Until next episode, so long.
Bye.
So long. Bye.
Oh, by the way, Mike, you have a little fan posse.
I do?
Oh, yes. Pink Horse Italy and Yorpele.
Yeah, I saw them, the forum thing.
No, they keep
writing
me. Oh. What are they like? What is he like? Is he cute? Da, 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 da. I'm going, well, considering you'll never meet him.
Cuter than Luke.
Oh, they asked about Luke, too. They asked about Luke, too. I don't have stalkers and fans. You guys do. That sucks.
Your place.
Because you wear those Hollywood dark glasses in your picture and they can't tell who you are.
That's it.
Your Palais said that she would be your stalker.
In a nice KT baby way. No, she asked, Your Palais asked about both of you. Are they as cute as they sound? I was like, oh.
I'm going to have to look it up, but someone in the forums, and I'm almost going to blush saying this, said that my voice sounded exactly like some skater from years ago.
Paul Wiley.
Yeah.
You do.
It was like
when they said that, I went, that's exactly right.
And I have no idea who this is, but okay.
Mm-mm.
Paul Wiley, the Canadian skater, he's so cute.
I don't remember what he sounds like.
He sounds just like Luke. He's a commentator now. He's a skater commentator now. Mm. So if you turn on a skating event, I know that's just something you guys look forward to every day. Paul Wiley usually is one of the commentators, and you'll hear Luke. He does sound a lot like him.